Today's daf is Tomid Daf Lamed, and we will begin about 10 lines from the top of Daf Lamed, Amid Aleph, the new perek, the third perek in Masechtas Tomid. Today's daf is being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Miriam Bas Avram Shloima, and as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Etam Malka Bas Miriam. I want to thank my good friend David Solomon for his very generous contribution to Archabura. Today's daf is also being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Khalifa Avigdar Ben Esther. So we're moving along here in Masechtas Tomid, and we're discussing the Avodah that took place Tomid in the Beis HaMikdash. Zok Mishnah, Omer Lehem HaMemuna, the Memuna, this is the Kohen that was in charge, that we've seen was maybe the Skan Kohen Gadol. So even though the Gemara says in Yuma Daf Lamed Tes that the Skan Kohen Gadol really didn't serve much of a purpose other than in the event that something took place to the Kohen Gadol, he would step in and become the Kohen Gadol. But in Masechtas Tomid, it's clear that there were some roles that he had. One of them was to oversee and to make sure that everything ran smoothly. Either way, so the Mamuna went to the Kihanim and he said, any Kohen that wants to be part of the Goyrel has a right to be part of the Goyrel. What was this Goyrel going to determine? Many things. Number one, Mi Ashoichet. Who's going to do the shechita of the carbon tamid? Mi hazorik? Who's going to do the zrika? What about the kabbalah and the halacha? So the Mishnah doesn't mention that. Mi medashim mizbeach apnimi? Who's going to clean the mizbeach apnimi? So every day the k'tiris was brought on the mizbeach apnimi, and before the k'tiris was going to be brought, they had to clean the deshen from the previous day's ketores. Mi medashen es hamenorah. Who's going to be mate of the neiros? Who's going to clean the oil and the psilois, whatever was remaining from the menorah from the previous day, so that the kohen can go light the menorah again? Mi mali varm lakevish. Who's going to take the evarim of the carbon tamid and walk it up the ramp and bring it onto the Mizbeach? Now, the carbon tamid was a carbon oila. A carbon oila we know was kulay kolol, which meant that all the meat went on the Mizbeach. So every carbon, with the exception of the chata sa'oif, had basar that went on the Mizbeach. But the carbon oila, of course, was unique in that all the basar, all the emurim, everything went on the Mizbeach. So to take the oila onto the Mizbeach was a very big job. And as we'll see, the Mishnah is going to say there were six koyanim who literally had a walk the Evarim onto the Mizbech. And the Mishnah breaks it down. Number one, Haroshva Haregel Shal Yomit. One Kohen's job was going to be to take the head of the Karban Oila and its right leg, Ushtei HaYadayim. Another Kohen was going to take the two forelegs, its two hands, Ha'uketzva Regel, the back of the animal, as in the tail, and the left leg was going to be brought up by another Kohen, Nachazav HaGeira. One Kohen was going to bring the Chaza, the chest, and the Geira is the neck, Ushtei Defanois, the two flanks, the Hakravayim, and another Kohen was going to take the kravayim, the intestines, the innards of the animal. Additionally, this girl was going to decide the hasoilus, who was going to bring the flour onto the mizbeach. The carbon oilo had a minchas nesachim that was brought with it, meaning in addition to the behema that was the carbon tamid, there was also a mincha that came along with it, which Kohen was going to walk that mincha onto the mizbeach. V'hachavitin, the minchas chavitin that was brought every day by the Kohen Gadol, which Kohen was going to have the opportunity to play a role in the minchas chavitin. And finally, the yayin, u'minchasav v'neskeim kibetuvar, so there was wine that was also brought together with the carbon tamid, and this girl was going to decide which Kohen was going to bring the wine. Either way, says the Mishnah, hefisu, they made a girl, zacha, misha zacha. So whoever won the girl, zachalai, and he's the one that's going to win. So the Mishnah just mentioned 13 shtellers, 13 kibudim that came along with the second gairel that was done every day in the Beis HaMikdash. It's just interesting to note that although it sounds like there were 13 gairelos, but procedurally, the way it went down was there was really only one gairel, and whoever won, the people, or the 12 people that were standing next to him, they would pick up the other kibudim. So it wasn't 13 gairelos, it was one gairel, there was one winner. So the Iker Goyrel was for X, and then together with him, the 12 people standing to his side, they would come along. There's a machlokes rishonim, what that Iker Goyrel was for. Was it for the Shechita? Was it for the Zrika? The Mishnah mentions Mi HaShoichet, but that could just mean because in terms of the Seder, Shechita happened before the Zrika. But regardless, so this was the Pious Hasheni. Amalehem. So before anything took place further, the Mamunu went and said, Tzuru Migiyas Man Shechita. So we have to determine, is it time? Is it Alois HaShacha yet? Can we bring the carbon tamid? If the time came, Haroyo Emer Brakak, the Kohen whose job it was to go see whether or not it's higia, would say the word barkai, meaning it's shining, it's light, the sun is here, whatever exactly that zman is, it's arrived. Masim and Shmuleimer, he said the nosach was a little bit different. The kohanim would ask this person, hey, your pnei kol ha-mizrach achu b'cheven, so picture a kohen standing on top of a ladder with a binoculars, he's trying to determine, is it time yet to bring the carbon tamid? And they would ask him, hey, your pnei kol ha-mizrach achu b'cheven, assuming the answer was yes, v'hu oimer hein, he would say yes indeed, and as a result, the kohanim knew that they can start doing what it is they needed to do. Meaning the carbon tamid had to be brought in a certain zman, so before they go further, they had to make sure that that zman arrived. If you remember, in the beginning of Masechtas Krisa, so we're not going to go into this now, but we mentioned that there's a Yerushalmi that asks that it's mashma from here that there was one kohen who went to tell the Olam whether or not Barkai, or whether he gia pnei kol ha-mizrach ad shehu b'chevern. And Yerushalmi asks Akasha, an eid echad? How can an eid echad be believed? We know the rule. Al pishnai meidam yakum davar. How is it possible that one kayan, the chayri, you should have needed two kayhanim? And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in his Har Tzvi brings that he heard Akasha from one of the G'dayli Olam that he said, what's the problem? The chayra, the question of whether or not it's zman of the Tamid Shal Shachar is a question of and eid echad never be certain, meaning it's true. In the Torah it says, al pishnai eidam yakum davar. But it's only true for Mammon, it's true for Dinei Nefashis. Davar, so it's true by Davar Shabarav as well. But when it comes to a question of Issa v'Heter, is this meat kosher, is it not kosher? Right, if you want to know what time Zman Kriya Shema is, you don't need two Eidim with a Bezdin, right? Eid Echad never be sur. Just like you could walk into somebody's kitchen and trust that his food is kosher, you could trust someone if he tells you that Zman Kriya Shema is 9:55. You don't have to question him. So L'chayra, this Gadol asked, said Rav Hersh Pesach, this Yerushalmi at first glance is Tzarechi in Gadol. Yerushalmi has a Kasha. How is an Eid Echad believed to say Barkai? Why? Because you need to weigh them? This is a question of Issa v'Heter. It's a question of Issa v'Heter. Shouldn't the rule be Eidach and Emin v'Yisurim? So we said based on a Sefri. The Sefri says, L'yakum Eidach l'chol avoin u'l'chol chatos. I don't have the Sefri in front of me, but l'chol chatos says the Sefri that when it comes to chatois, when it comes to karbonois, there's a halacha of L'yakum Eidach. In other words, just like Dine Mominus requires two Eidim, Dine Nefashais requires two Eidim, Davisha Be'erva requires two Eidim, there's a halacha that when it comes to karbonos, la yakum eid echad l'chol chatos, that chatois v'ashamois, karbonos, anytime there's a shaila that requires somebody to step forward and to testify, an eid echad wouldn't be believed. You would need two Eidim. That's the case. It's very moving, l'chayr, the Yerushalmi's kasha. Then how could one kayan have been believed? Shouldn't you need two Eidim? Either way, the Mishnah continues and says, Amal Lehem Tzuvi Yiviyu Tlami Lishka Satlon. So assuming that it's time already to bring the carbon talmud, so the next thing that the Mamuna would say is, okay, now we need a sheep. So there was a special lishka, a chamber. It was known as the Lishka Satlon, and that's where the sheep were. Now these weren't just any sheep. These were sheep that had already been inspected for mumin to make sure that they were ru'uyin to be brought as a carbon. You know, there's many, many azars in the Torah that say that if you have an animal that's a balmum, it's pasul akrava, there's many lavin and essen. So these were tlaim that had been inspected previously. Additionally, with the carbon tamid, there's a halacha of bikur, which means that you literally have to inspect it over a four-day period. Regardless, so they went and they took a tle from the lishkas atlaim. Says the Mishnah, where was the lishkas atlaim? The lishkas atlaim, the sunnah b'mkitzai, tzfoynes maravis. It was in the corner of tzfoynes maravis of Beis HaMoiket. So Beis HaMoike is where a lot of the activity took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, this is Bayesheni, and in Bayesheni there were two lishkas where most of the action happened. One was Beis HaMoiket, the other one was the Lishkas HaGazos. Either way, the Lishkas HaTlon was in Beis HaMoiket. It says the Mishnah, Arba Lishkas HaYusham. In fact, this was only one of four Lishkas that were there. Achas Lishkas HaTlon, V'achas Lishkas HaChisomois, V'achas Lishkas Beis HaMoiket, V'achas Lishkas Sha'oysam Balechem Aponim. We'll see more about this. Mi'atz Hashem HaMesech Tismidas. Nichlas Lishkas HaKeilim. After the Kohen went to go bring a tle, to bring a lamb from the Lishkas HaTloim, other kohanim went into the Lishkas HaKelim. They started bringing out the utensils that they were going to need to do the avoidah. So what would they need kelim for? So there's some kelim that you simply need for the avoidah. You need a sakin to do the shechita, you need a mizrak to do the kabbalah. But additionally, the carbon oila, that's what we're dealing with, the carbon tamid, had a mitzvah of hefshet and a mitzvah of nituach. Hefshet meant that before they did a haktar, they had to skin the animal. It says in the Torah, v'hifshet oisa, it's a pasuk right in the beginning of Parashas Vayikra. Additionally, there was a mitzvah of nituach. They had to carve the animal up. So we need kelim simply to carve up this carbon idol. How many kelim? Tishin v'shloisha, kli kasev v'kli yizav. 93 kelim, all silver and gold. Hishkos ha-tamid, because shows up. The next thing they did was they gave the carbon tamid to drink out of a golden becher. Achleik yisam, if it was a guzma. If it's not a guzma, in anias b'makom hashiris. Either way, alpha bishul mevukum b'erev. Additionally, even though this animal already had bikur, mevakrin oisa la'aravukos, they would do bikur again. So we're going to pause now. Meaning, the Mishnah is discussing the seder of how the carbon tamid was brought, but it now digresses for a moment and goes to discuss some of the other avoidos that were determined by the pious hasheni. Specifically, mi medashi mizbeach apnimi, mi medashi nesamener. Again, these things are all happening simultaneously, so the Mishnah is going to juggle. Tell us what's happening here, what's happening there. It's all happening at the same time. So Mishnah zach b'dishim mizbeach apnimi. Whoever won the gairo to clean the mizbeach apnimi, u'b'dishim amener makdim, and they would go into the heichal. So where was the mizbeach apnimi? It was b'fnim. B'fnim meaning it was in the heichal. In the Mishkan, it was in the Oyel Moyed. In the Beis HaMikdash, it was in the Heichal. Not a lot happened in the Heichal, right? Most of the Karbonos, most of what was brought in the Beis HaMikdash happened in the courtyard. It happened in the Azara. But the Heichal had some Kalim as well. What was in the Heichal? You had the Shulchan. You had the Mizbeach. There was one Mizbeach that was inside the Heichal. There was one Mizbeach that was in the Azara. And you had the Menorah as well. So the Kohen that was going to be Medash in the Mizbeach HaPnimi was obviously going to enter the Heichal to do that. The Kohen that was going to be Medash in the Menorah would have to enter the Heichal as well. So they have to get now from the Azara into the Heichal. Now the Heichal was locked up every night. So it wasn't easy to get into the Heichal. Additionally, as we'll see, there was a Shar HaGodol. There was a huge gate that went from the Azara into the Heichal. So, theoretically, the Derech HaYosher to get from the Azara into the Heichal would have been to go through the Shar HaGadol. The problem is, the Shar HaGadol was locked, and it was locked from the inside. I mean, that was locked from the inside. It was impossible for the Kohanim, who were coming from the Azara, right, this is the beginning of the day, so they're coming from the Azara into the Heichal to get into the Heichal through Hashar HaGadol. It was just physically impossible. It was locked, and it was locked from the inside. So they were going to have to go, Tzirik Tzvegs, they were going to have to find some way to be able to get in. So says the Mishnah, the Kohen that was Zoycha to do the Dishon of the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Kohen that was Zoycha to do the Dishon of the Menorah, Hayim Akdim, they entered the Heichal. V'dalu Kelim Yodah. Between the two of them, they were carrying four Kelim. Hateni, the hakuz. A teni is a large basket, a kuz is a smaller basket. Additionally, they had two keys. Hateni, how big was the teni? It was doimo litarkiv. It was almost as big as a keli that contains a tarkiv. A tarkiv is three kavim. Trey, vikav, 2+1. Shells of, it was made of gold. How big was it? Meaning it's doimo litarkiv. How big is it really? Machzi kabayim v'chetzi. It can hold 2.5 kavim. So it's almost trey plus a kav. It's a little bit off. Akuz, the kuz was smaller than that. It was similar to a large jug, again made out of gold. The shtei mavtechos, and they were holding two keys. Echad shu yoyred ba'amas hashechi, the echad shu poseach kivan. One of them was a key to a door where you had to open the door from the inside. The way the Mishnah describes that is the kohen was going to have to stick his hand up until his armpit through a hole, and then open it from the inside. The other one is Shupeseich Kivon, was very simple to open. So again, the carrying between the two of them, these four kelim, the teni and the kuz. The teni is the larger container, the kuz is the small container. Who has the larger one? The kohen that's going to do the dishon of the Mizbeach HaPnimi. The reason his is larger is because he's going to have more dashon to clean up. Who has the smaller one? The kohen that's going to do the dishon of the menorah. Additionally, they have these two keys simply to be able to get in. So how did they get in? They didn't get in through the Shara Gadol. How did they get in? They went in through one of the side doors. Which one? The northern ones. If you have a picture in front of you, you have the Shara Gadol, and then there's two doors. One to the right, one to the left, or one towards Tzafin, one towards Darim. The door that they're going to walk through is the one that's on the Tzafin side. Shnei Pishpashin, Hoyu Leil Shara Gadol. The Mishnah describes it. It says, there were two Pishpashin Shara Gadol. Echash B'Tzach, Mechav B'Tzach, Shabadarim, Leil Dichas B'Yadam Yad. The one that was on the Darim side, nobody ever walked in. And Olafu Mufurish Ayyadei Yecheskel. And this is the door that Yecheskel Anavi described in his Pasuk. Yecheskel Perik Mem Dalet. Vayoyimer Eli Hashem. Hashar hazeh sogur yeh, lo yipaseh. It has to always remain closed, should never be opened. The ishlo yavoy boy. Why? Ki Hashem elikei Yisrael bavoy V'haya saga. This is Susha Arav Rashechem. And literally, Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael Bavai. This is the gate through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu enters the Heichal. No mortal, no man, even the Kohen, even the Kohen Gadol. No one was ever allowed to lo yipaseach the ish lo yop. It doesn't matter who that person is. Was never allowed to walk in. So obviously, if they're not walking in through the pishpish that's on the darm side, they were going to be walking into the pishpish that's on the tzofen side. Not as a mafteach. Kohen took the mafteach. Who pasach as a pishpish. He opened up the door. From there, he went into like a side room. Umehata the heichal. From the tzofen, he entered the heichal. Achim agil the shara gadol. Till he came to the shara gadol. When he came to the shara gadol, hever es hanager ves hapoischa. So this is a big shar. So he removes the bolts and he removes everything that's lacking this shar down. Uposche, and he opened it. Zok the Mishnah. It's an important line for the raid that we're going to see later. The shoychet, the one who was zoicha in mi hashoychet, to do the shchita of the carbon tamid, he did not do the shchita atche shoymeya shar gadol sheniftach, until he heard the shar gadol open up. So when he heard the shar gadol open up, he knew now it's time. Now I could do the shechita, but until he heard the shara gadol open up, he couldn't do shechita. Zok to Mishnah. We digress for a moment. So on the topic of the shara gadol, how much noise did it make? Mi yirichai hayashoymim kol shara gadol sheniftach. They were able to hear it all the way to yirichai. Now there's a discussion in the Rishonim, if you take a look in the Rosh, but there's a discussion. Does it mean you were able to hear it literally from Yerushalayim all the way to yirichai, which is about 10 miles away? Or some say that no, it means that you were able to hear it in yirichai. Because Yerichai had some spiritual energy that connected it with Yerushalayim. So just like if you were in the area, in the mechitzas of the Beis HaMikdash, you were able to hear this loud, thundering noise of the Shara Gadol of the Heichal opening up. In Yerichai, you were able to hear it as well. So why would Yerichai be more Kaddosh than, you know, Bnei Brak or another city that's in Yerushalayim? So Tzadik HaKoyen says that it's related to the fact that when Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael for the first time, Yeshua ben Nun destroyed the city of Yerichai, and it was said that this city is never allowed to be rebuilt. And Rav Tzadik says the pnimius of that is that a Yid has to give Chumas and Maisis from everything that Kaddish Baruch Hu gives him. Yaakov Avinu said, V'chol asher titen li aseras renullah. That's why even from his children, he gave away Levi, Chaimish, he gave away Yisachar, Vadvar, and Matikin. But V'chol asher titen li, so Klai Yisrael got Eretz Yisrael, and they had an obligation to be mafresh Chumas and Maisis from Eretz Yisrael. The Trum of Eretz Yisrael, says Rav Tzadik HaKoyen, was Yerichai. It was the city of Yerichai. And being that it's the Trum of Eretz Yisrael that has Kedusha, Yerushalayim of course has Kedusha. It's the Mokoyim Hashroyis Hashchina. And as a result, Yerushalayim and Yerichai are somehow connected. So this Koil Gadol of the Shar that was Niftach was able to be heard in Yerushalayim and was also able to be heard in its sister city, so to speak, in Yerichai. The topic of things that took place in Yerushalayim that you were also able to hear in Yericho is Zok the Mishnah. We digress from our digression. Me Yericho Yishamim called Magrefa. They were able to hear the call of the Magrefa. So the Magrefa was an instrument that was shaped like a shovel. A Magrefa is usually a shovel. The Gemara discussed this actually. Mesechtes Erechin, Daf Yud, Daf Yud Aleph. But you were able to hear the noise. It was one of the instruments that the Levim played with. You were able to hear it in Yericho. Yericho Yishamim called Ben Arza Makash Betzel. So you were able to hear the noise of Ben Arza. So he was the conductor of the orchestra of Levim, and you were able to hear his koil playing in, with the tzeltzel, which are symbols, all the way in Yericho. Yericho Yishamim kol achalil. You're able to hear the sound of the flute. Yericho Yishamim kol gvini kruz. You're able to hear the noise of the vekker. So the vekker, he yelled loud. You can hear it in Yericho. Yericho Yishamim kol eich. You're able to hear the patent that Ben Katin made for the kir, so that the water of the kir shouldn't become pasul belina. So when they would lower the kir into the ground, it made a lot of noise, and you were able to hear the noise all the way to Yericho. Yericho Yerushalayim Kol Asher, you were able to hear the Levim singing. Yericho Yerushalayim Kol Asher, the different tkiyos and truos and tkiyos that sounded in the Beis HaMikdash during the course of the day, you were able to hear it in Yericho. Yerushalayim, some say you were able to hear in Yericho, Av Kol Asher Koyin Gadol B'Shashu Masker Es Hashem, you're able to smell the k'tiris in Yericho. Amar Abulaz, till now everything was shmia. So here you see there was an idea of reyach as well. Not only the sense of hearing, but the sense of smell somehow, metaphysically, was able to carry from Yerushalayim all the way to Yericho. Amar Abulaz ben Degloy, Izam Hayla Abba Bari HaMichfar, said, my father owned goats and they used to drezach an oriam mifkar, and they would sneeze. Mereach pitom haktayres from the smell of, even though it was very far away, but they would sneeze from the smell of the ktayres. Zok de mishnah. Misha zacha betamin. Again, so we are discussing at the same time the kayhanim that was zoicha in the payas to bring the karmat tamin, and the kayhanim that was zoicha to do the dishon of the mizbeach apnimi and the dishon of the menorah. So we return now to the kayhan that was zoicha to do the karmat tamin. Misha zacha betamin. Mashka vaydach veis hamitbachayim. He took the carbon tamen and he brought it to the Beis HaMitbachayim. So many Rishonim say that there was really no such place called Beis HaMitbachayim. It wasn't a lishka, it wasn't a room, rather. We're dealing with the carbon oila, the oilas hatavit. And oila is kachik adashim. Ezel mekoyman, shchitasan is bitzafayin. So what we mean is the northern part of the Azara. That's the tzafayin, where halachically the shechit of the carbon tamid was going to have to take place. Says the Mishnah, where was this Beis HaMitbachayim? Beis HaMitbachayim hoya, umicha zacha be'evarim holchim yom. The people that were zoicha to bring the evarim, we saw there were six kayhanim that were going to take the evarim and bring it onto the ramp of the Mizbeach, they came along with the kayhan who was going to do the shechit. Beis HaMitbachayim hoya letzfoyne shal Mizbeach. The Beis HaMitbachayim was on the northern part of the Mizbeach. V'ol of ches amudim nanosim. There were eight very short beams, and there was like a plank of cedar that was on top of it, and there were rings made of barzel that were attached to the plank of wood. Each one had three, so it's eight times three, you can do the math. What they used those rings for, it was used to be toilet, to hang, to suspend the carbon tamid, because they're going to have to skin the carbon talmud and they're going to have to do the nituach, as the Mishnah is going to describe in very, very, very great detail. Next up. Umashitan al shulchanesh al shayis shebeinu amudim. Additionally, they would do the hefshit on tables that were made out of marble that were between the amudim. So it's a little bit unclear if they used the rings, they hung the animal from the rings to do the hefshit. So what do they need these tables for? That's the first thing that's a little unclear. Second thing is the Mishnah seems to be saying that the shulchanes were bein ha'amudim. They were literally between the beams. If you refer to any of the pictures, you'll see they're not literally Beinu Amudim, but they're to the north of the Amudim. So they're close to the Amudim, but they're really a little bit more towards Safin. But regardless, it sounds like you have the rings that are on the Erez, that are on these very short, stubby pillars that are used for the hefshet. Additionally, you have these shulchanos that are also used for the hefshet. Zok the Mishnah, Misha zok b'dish ve'ech apnimi. Going back to the kayin that was oichem with the tesh, and it was ve'ech apnimi. Nichnas, he entered the heichel. V'not ales atenis. He's walking into the heichel, and he has the teni. That's this large container that's almost the size of something that contains three kavim. Really, it contains 2.5. V'nichel afanav, he put it down in front of him. V'yuchoyfein v'noysen l'toichoy. And he took the ashes of the ktoiris with his hands, and he put it inside this teni. Ubachroina, when he was done, so you have a little bit left, like if you're sweeping. So what do you do at the end? You have to pick up the remaining pieces that are on the floor. So he swept it. Kibe means to sweep. And he left it there, and he walked out. Now, in theory, you would say, just take the teni out with you right now. He's going to go back into the heichal later in the mesechta, and he's going to remove the teni. But for now, he swept all the deshen into the teni, and he left it by the mizbeach. Mi shezach b'di shamanayr, the coin that was like in the dash of manayr, nichas of matzav ezneiris. He walked in, and when he was there, in a perfect world, what he would find is the two neiros, mizrachiyos, we'll go with that here, so, dolkin, still lit. Medashin es hasha. He would clean up the other five neiros, umaniach es elu dolkin umkoyman, and the two that were still lit, he would leave there. Meaning, in a perfect world, there would the Hatovas HaNeiros would take place in two phases. And when the Kohen would walk in to be Medashin in the Menorah, so he would clean the first five Neiros first. The other two would still be lit. He would come back, since Tzveit Demol, again, later in the parak, and then he's going to do the Hatova, and he's going to clean up the deshen of the other two Neiros. Now, it just so happens that didn't always work out that way. And there were times that he would walk in and all seven Neiros were extinguished. The matzah and shakav, but what happens if you saw all seven when were extinguished? The Mishnah says a chiddush. Midashna. He would clean the five, and actually those two as well. Umadligim and adokin, and then he would relight the two. The achakach midashin es hashar. Meaning there was a din that you had to go in twice to do the atavas haneiros. It had to be done that way. So if you came in and all seven were extinguished, you say, okay, so I might as well clean all seven. No. You clean the five, but you had to relight those two so that you'll be able to come in later. So that Sukkim, the Gemara Masechet Yuma discusses this in detail. How it is we know that the dishon of the menorah and the tavas aneris had to happen in two phases, regardless. So the Kayin just cleaned five of the aneris, two are still lit. What does he do with the kuz that has the dashon of the five aneris? There was an eved in front of the menorah. Ubagim or mylois. There were three steps on that oven. Baloischa esaneros. Shalal koyin oime. The koyin would stand on it. Umeitav esaneros. Umenichas akuz al maila shnia. Everything is so precise, so choreographed. He would put the kuz on the second of the three steps. V'yotza, and he would leave. Hadron aloch amar lehem hamimuna. So just two ha'aris with regards to this daf. The first start. The Mishnah is discussing the Pious Hasheni. What was the Pious Hasheni? It decided 13 of the Avodas that were done every morning in the Beis HaMikdash. The first one that was mentioned in the Mishnah was Mi HaShoichet. So the Pious Hasheni was going to determine who or which Kayin was going to do the Shechita of the Karban Tavet. The truth is that when you learn the Mishnah, after learning Kachem for about a year and a half, there has to be something bothering you. And that is, there was a pious that determined which Kayin was going to do the Shechita every morning of the Karban Tamid. We know Shechita Lava Avoidi, because Shechita is Kshera Bazar. So L'chayra, if a Zar was able to do it, it's not Avoida, why was it included in the pious? You would think the pious was for Avoidos. Zoyrek, Mimalei Varin, the Chumas Hadeshin, these are all things that a Zar was not allowed to do. The Akhtar, as we'll see later, but this, Mia Shoichet, Shechita Lava Avoidi, Shechita Ksheira Bazar. It sounds like if a person wanted, even a Zar, a non-Kayin, even an Apostle, an Isha, an Eved was allowed to do the Shechita. So if that's the case, why do you have a pious? Okay, so it's not so shver. You could say that even though Shechita's Ksheira Bazar, but the Katchila, a Kayin was going to do it, and how would you determine which Kayin? We saw by the Chumas Hadeshin, a fight broke out because, you know, people wanted to do the Avodah, so just to streamline things, what they did was it was decided through a pious. But the real kasha is something else, and that is, there's a Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh is in Parshas Naaseh. We've mentioned the Zohar in the past. It says, V'shachat es ben ha-bakar. It's like the Zohar, and I quote, V'shachat achara, V'lav kahano, de kahano osule. Again, v'shachat es ben habakar. This is right at the beginning of Parshas Vayikra. We're dealing with the Karban Oilo. V'shachat achara. Someone else. What do you mean, someone else? V'lav kahano. Not a koyein. The kahano osole. Because a koyein is not allowed to do shechita. It's mavur in this zaya. That not only is shechita ksheira bizarre, but al pi kabbalah, there was an idea that a Kohen was not allowed to do the Shechita. And if that's the case, it's a Pella. How could the Zohar say something that's required from a Mishnah? The Mishnah says that how would they determine who would do the Shechita? They determined it with a Geirel. All the Kayhanim came, we're dealing with the Kayhanim. This is in the Azaru. Bo ve'fisu. Mi ha-shoicheid. Who was going to do the Shechita? So you see clearly that a Kohen was going to do the Shechita. So you'll tell me, Shechita k'sheir bazar? Bezeder. But the Katchila Kayim was going to do it. Incidentally, there's a Gemara Masechtes Kedushin that I involve him in base. The Gemara says, Ein Boitkin min HaMizbeach Ulamayla. So this Gemara is in Perek Asor Yuchsin. This is the fourth Perek of Masechtes Kedushin. And the Gemara over there is discussing different halachas related to Yichus. So in the olden days, if somebody wanted to get married, so if you want to do a nice Shidduch, you had to come with a Yichus brief. How do we know who you are? Says the Mishnah, Ein Boitkin min HaMizbeach Ulamayla. What does that mean? If somebody did Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, ain't Baitkin, you don't have to do any Bedikas. He doesn't need a Yichus brief. Why? Because the assumption is that before he was allowed to do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, they would vet him out, and they would make sure that he's someone that's right to do the Avodah. So if that's the case, if you know this person did Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't need to do a Bedika now. Because the mere fact that he was doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the greatest raya that this is a person that could do a nice Shidduch. Because if he can get through that security, there's no question he will be able to, he's okay. Why? Because they only used the Meyuchis in the Beis HaMikdash. Zokta, Freitas, Sakasha. This is a top toisvus of the sechtes kedushin. That I am involved with. Just because you see somebody in the Beis Hamikdash doing the avoda, does that necessarily mean that he's a miyuchis? Maybe the reason he was in the Beis Hamikdash or the avoda that he was doing was shchita. It's a toisvus akasha. Maybe it was shchita. Shchita ksheira bizar. But not only shchita ksheira bizar, shchita ksheira bipsulim. Afilu yisho, afilu evet. It's a freak toaster. It's just because someone's standing with a knife and he's doing avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. Why ain't baitkin mehecha teisi? And Toys has a very big chiddush that even though it's true, the Mishnah says that even an apostle was allowed to do the shechita in the Beis Hamikdash because shechita lav avodi, but the minig was. The reality is they didn't allow any person to just go ahead and do a shechita. And before they allowed a person to do even the shechita, but even shechita, before they allowed someone to do the shechita, they would be baitik. And that's why there's a halacha ein baitkin minamas beach ulamayla. But again, that's just, he had to be a miyuchas. It could be a Yisrael miyuchas also. Right? There's a concept of a kaya miyuchas. There's also a concept of a Yisrael miyuchas. So you see that the person had to be a miyuchas, but again, we have a Mishnah where the Mishnah says that they would make a geirul to determine which kohen was going to do the shechita every morning when it came to the Eilas HaTamid. L'chura, at first glance, how does it stem with the Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Nasai? So I found that the Cheshek Shloima, Rav Shloima Kohen Mivilna, in his Hagoyis on Shas, in Mesechtes Menachos Daf Yutes, asks this kasha. And he brings a teretz that he heard from his brother, Rabbi Tzalo. So Kiyadua, the Cheshek Shloima had a brother, Rabbi Tzalo HaKoyim Mivilna, who passed away at a very young age. We've quoted Rabbi Tzalo HaKoyim in the past. So he says that he heard a teretz from his brother, and he wanted to say an unbelievable chiddush based on raid that we've spoken about so much in the past, the Ein Kamakoyim Laharech, and also the Ein Beis Medrash B'loi Chiddush. And that is that we asked a gevaldig kasha, without going into the whole arichos. And that is that when a kohen did shechita, assuming a kohen was going to do shechita, was he allowed to wear the big day kuna? Or was he not allowed to wear the big day kuna? So what's the context? We always speak this out. And the Gemara says in Masech, this brach is that when Chana brought Shmuel to the Beis HaMikdash, to Eli, for the first time. So when Shmuel walks into the Beis HaMikdash, he sees they're looking for a kohen. He said, what are you looking for a kohen? We need someone to do shechita. So Shmuel said, you're looking for a kohen to do shechita? Shechita lav avoidi. So they brought him, Shmuel, to Eli. And Eli said, this child is saying very good. Shechita lav avoidi. The problem is, he's a mayor lacha b'fnei rabbi. Because he's the Talmud, I'm the Rav, and he had no business paskining a shayla in front of me. And being that he's a mayor lacha b'fnei rabbi, he's chayav misa. And Eli wanted to kill Shmuel. Chana davin el anara zez palalti. And the rest is history. Freak the malbim, marta sachayim, the chasam soifer, the tshuva. Now why was Shmuel chayav misa? For saying shchitik sheir bizar, the Gemara says in Masechtas Erev and Daf Samach Gimel that even though Tam is not allowed to be meir alach b'fnei rabbi, but lafrusha meisura to prevent his rebbe from doing an avera, he's allowed to be meir alach b'fnei rabbi. If you see your rebbe doing something wrong, you're going to say I'm not going to tell him because I'm a meir alach b'fnei rabbi. Of course not. Lafrusha meisura, a Talmud's allowed to be meir alach b'fnei rabbi. It's freak the Malbim and the Chasam Sofer and other gedoyli achroinim. Shmuel thought that shchita needed to be done by a kohen. If that's the case, a kohen was going to do the shechita. Not only was a kohen going to do the shechita, he was going to wear the big day kuna. But the emes is shechita ksheir bazar. If shechita is ksheir bazar, it means shechita lav avoidi. If shechita is lav avoidi, that means that if a kohen is going to do the shechita, he can't wear the big day kuna. If he can't wear the big day kuna, that means that if he wears the big day kuna, according to the Rambam in Perek Ches Hilchas Kalayim Mikdash, and according to the Rambam in the last Halach in Hilchas Kalayim, he's over the Isser Malkus. He'd be Chayiv Malkus for wearing the big day kuna. If that's the case, Shmuel had to tell Eli Shechitik Sheir Bazar. What do you mean? He's a Moira Halach B'fnei Rabbi? This is Lafrusha Meisura. Why? Because Ladas Eli, it's an Avodah. A Koyin's going to do it with the big day kuna. But Ladas Shmuel and Lefi HaEmes, it's not an avodah. It's not an avodah. Kohen can't wear the big day kuna. If he can't wear the big day kuna, what does that mean? That means that if he does wear the big day kuna, he's going to be wearing shat neshleib b'makom mitzvah. He's going to be over a loisase. So it comes out that it's lefrusha meisura. But said the Cheshek Shloim, what do you see from all this raid? What do you see from all this? You see from all this v'chayra that if a kohen did shechita in the Beis Hamikdash, he couldn't wear the big day kuna. He didn't wear the big day kuna. Why didn't he wear the big day kuna? Because being that shechita lav avodah, it's like wearing shatnez
Shaloi b'makom mitzvah, the gartel that had the shatnez, and that's something l'das haRambam you're not allowed to do. That's the case. He says, I think that's what the Zohar means. I think people make a tremendous toys in the Zohar. Pasha, you read the Zohar. V'shachat as ben abakar, v'shachat achar of alaf kahana. A Zohar had to do the shechita, not a koyim. Why? The kahana also, he says, that's not what it means. You know what the Zohar means? The Zohar means this cheshbon. He means the Rambam. Unbelievable. Zohar means the Rambam. He says, you know what he means? V'shachat acharo. That avada koyin was allowed to do the shechita. But when a koyin did the shechita, being that shechita lava void, he couldn't wear the big day kuhuna. Because if he would wear the big day kuhuna, he'd be wearing the gartel. The gartel had shatnez shloim b'makom mitzvah is going to be a problem. So you know what he had to do? He had to wear regular big day chol. If he was wearing big day chol, the Gemara says, bizman shebigdeyem aleyem kuhunasam aleyem. Ein bigdeyem aleim, ein kunasam aleim. Remember the Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Peter? The whole discussion of you have to be v'kidashti, you have to be mechaber a koyin bezmanazor. Rabbeinu Tam once asked a koyin to bring him something. He says, what do you mean v'kidashti? How can you ask a koyin to do? He said, bezman shel bigdeyem aleim, kunasam aleim. If he's wearing the bigdey kuna, I'll never ask him anything again. But right now he's wearing bigdey chol. Bezman shel bigdeyem aleim, kunasam aleim. So he said that a koyin that did the shechita, being that he couldn't wear the bigdey kuna, so bal korchach, he didn't have him in Kedusha's Ketuna. That's what the Zohar means. V'shachat achar of alaf kana, not that a koyin couldn't do shechita, but that when he does the shechita, he couldn't wear big day kuna. Says the Cheshek Shloimus, or Betzalel, his brother said, das is pshat. He said, that's the teretz. Avada, the koyin was allowed to do the shechita. It was just a din that if he was going to do the shechita, he couldn't. Meaning there's no esoteric, heebie-jeebie, Zohar HaKadosh that says Koyhanim are not allowed to do the Avodah. He means the Rambam. That's what the Zohar means. The Zohar means the Rambam. If that's the case, a Koyim can do it. As long as he's not wearing big day kuna. So they made a Goyim, and whichever Koyim won the pious to do the Shechita, did the Shechita, he did it without the big day kuna. That's the first R. The second R is the Mishnah said that the Kohanim that were going to do the Dishon of the Mizbech HaPnimi and the Dishon of the Benoira, they entered the Heichal. They went in through the Pishbei Shatzafen, the Pishbei Shadarim, Layavoi, no one's allowed to go. That's Miuchad for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yecheskel, Perik Mem Dalet. But they went through the northern Pishbeish and opened up from the inside the Shara Gadol. Made a lot of noise, but practically speaking, the part of the noise that was negeya, the halachic part of the seder of the Karpin Talmud was, is lo yoyeh shoychet ha-shoychet, ad she-shemeh Shara Gadol she-niftach. And at first glance, it sounds like you weren't allowed to do shechita of the Karpin Talmud before you heard the Shara Gadol of the Heichal open up. Tosfos, in many places in Shas, has a suffix. He has a suffix how to understand Poshim Shat in this very simple line of the Mishnah. And Tosfos' suffix is predicated on a Gemara Masechtas Erevin Daf Beis Amud Aleph. We had this more recently. A Gemara Perek Ezel Mekoyim Masechtas Vachim Daf Nunheim Amud Beis. The Gemara says as follows. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shlomim Sheshachton, Koidim Sheyiftachu Dalsos Aheichol, Psulam. If a carbon shlomim was brought before the doors, the gates of the Heichal, were opened up, it's possible. Shenemar. Because the pasuk says regarding this, the carbon shlomim, v'samach yada al reish karbanoi, u'shchatoi pesach oyemoyed. And we learn from there, bezman shu pasuach, v'loi bezman shehu nol, that a carbon shlomim has to be brought, dafka, when the doors of the Heichal are already open. And Tosfos clears, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel said this halacha regarding a carbon shlomim. And the pasuk that he quoted is regarding a carbon shlomim. But yesh lacha, is this true only by a carbon shlomim? What about by other karbanos? Do you have this halacha by other karbanos or not? Nitzad echad, shlomim. Sounds like it's a din by shlomim. Otherwise, he would have said all karbanos. But then again, Tosfos says that a lot of the halachas of shalei l'shma we learn from a karban shlomim. We find there's a hekish all karbanos wokish the shlomim. And zilbasa taima. Why should it be a din dafkin shlomim? That's Tosfos suffik. Zok Tosfos muscharishim have a raya from a mufurish of Mishnah because the Mishnah says a masach this tamid lo yishoychet hashoychet atche shemei shar gadol sheniftach. The shoycha wouldn't shach the karban tamid until he heard them open up the gates. What's pshat? So pashat, it sounds like it's a matter of, I don't know, protocol. To meet them kisidron, there was a seid of how they brought the carbon tamid. But Dr. Tosfos, that la'achara iyun, after further review, maybe v'shteit does halacha gedayla. It's Shmuel's memra. Shlomim she'shachtam koidim she'yiftachu dalz v'zeheichal psulo. And la'av davka shlomim who had an oila. And that's why they had to wait to bring the carbon tamid every morning, even though it was an oila, until they opened up the Shara Gadol. And there's a tremendous nafkamina. Because Shmuel said, psulin, it's going to be possible. Is it ma'akiv? Was it ma'akim that they had to open up the Shara Gadol? What if the Shaykh had shechted the carbon tamid before they opened up the Shara Gadol? Would it make the carbon tamid possible? That's the Shaila. If the reason the Shaykh of the carbon tamid had to wait until they opened up the Shara Gadol, because of this halacha, b'shachtu pesach ayomayid, b'zmanchu pesuach, b'loi b'zmanchu no, then l'chura, it would come out that it's possible. If not, it won't be. Either way, that's tois v'shaila. That's Tois v'Shaila. Shomim sheshachten koinim sheyiftachu dalas haseichel psulin. Is it a din dafkin shlomim, or is it a din also with regards to the karban tamid? At first glance, it's a mufurish mishnah, but Tois says I'm not sure. Maybe the mishnah is just in terms of seder. You see, there was the tamidim kisidron. That's the theme of masechtas tamid. Maybe in terms of the seder of the tamid, that's the way it was. But lav dafka that it would be possible. Lav dafka that it falls into this halacha of shlomim sheshachtos. I'll just tell you one ha'ara that I saw. In the Sefer Har Tzvi, from Tzvi Pesach Frank, it's in his Pirish on Mesechta Zvachim, on this Gemara, Daf Nun Hei Yomid Beis. He said that it bothered him a murder gekasha. Tois has it sad to say that the only time you can bring a carbon, even the carbon, Lav Dafka Shlomim, is if the Dausos Ahechel are open. But if there's no Psichas Dausos Ahechel, not only a Shlomim possible, but even the Tomid would be possible, all Karbanos would be possible. That's the case. We know there's Machlekes and Shas. Kedusha Rishayin a Kitchel Ashaita the Kitchel Lasa Lava, you think? Or Kedusha Rishayin a Kitchel Ashaita for like Kitchel Lasa Lava. The Gemara says in the Gilad Avyoram and Aleph, Makshamatish and Makriven, Afal Pishayin Bayas. You could bring Karbanas even without a Beis Hamikdash. How do you bring Karbanas without a Beis Hamikdash? Because Kedusha Rishayna, Kitchel Ashaita, for Kitchel Lasa Lava. La Lachas, Machloik is Ramban. And Raven and Parakvav Vilchas Beis Abchira, the Rambam Sheet is Kedusha Rishayin a Kitchel Ashaita, for Kitchel Lasa Lava, Kedusha Rishayin a Beis Hamikdash. Still has Kedusha Afilu Bezman Hazeh, according to the Raivin, not. That's why, according to the Raivin, maybe you can go into the Harabayas Bezman Hazeh, according to the Rambam, Yechayv Karis. Avadi, you can't. But either way, Makriv Mafal Bishayim Bayis. Break the Fersh Pesach, he doesn't understand. If there's a locha that you're not allowed to bring a carbon, Achi Yiftachu Dals Zahechel, then how can you bring carbonus Bezman Hazeh? You're right, Kedusha Rishayin a Kitchel Ashaita, the Kitchel Asalavai. But you need Psichas Dalsa Sahechel. If you need Psichas Dalsa Sahechel, how could you bring a carbon? As I freaked it. And Rav Hirsch Pesach was so bothered with this kasha that he said, I think you have to say an unbelievable chiddush. That when Chazal said, Makriv and Afa Bishayim Bayis, what it means is you have a right to close your eyes and make believe that there's a Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash is Kitikunai, and there's a Hechel, and there's a Shara Gadol, and you can hear it all the way to Yerichai. You have a right to make believe that that's what's going on. Meaning you don't have to picture the Shualim Hilchuba, and you're just invoking an obscure Rambam, and you're bringing carbon, even though written. No. You have a right to make believe that it's Leviim Bashir Muvazirim of Yisrael B'Mamad and B'Kayanim Avidasam. You can literally picture there's a Beis HaMikdash from a halachic standpoint. And if that's the case, there's a Shar HaGadol, and the doors are open, and that's where you're allowed to bring a carbon. In the Chiddush of Makriv and Afal Bishayim Bayis, state that you have a right to make believe that it's as if everything is kitikuni. And he brings a raya to say such a chiddush, and then he asks a kasha on this chiddush. Ayin sham, unfortunately, ein kan makoy melaharach. But then he says that he asked this kasha to Yedidi Hagoyin Rameir Don Plotsky Zatzal, Hagai Vida Ostrov. And he told him that your kasha, Rav Hirsch Pesach, is a mafurish rajba. It's a rajba that's tucked away. It's a mesach de shfuas, daf te zayin amin aleph. The rajba asks this kasha, Ikal meidak. There's a man that says, Shamati shamakriven apopishayim bayis, hoshchitas kochim tzricha psichos dalsos. What happened to the halacha of psichos dalsos? Dr. Rajba, one line. The ish loymar, the hasan, very simple. Bezman shehayah abayis kayin. The iko pesach, the iko dalsos. Just to explain the Rajba, it's poshet. And that is yesh lachka. When we say shlomim sheshachton, koidim psichos dalsos ahechol is possible. What does it mean? It means in order to bring a carbon shlomim, and according to one side on Tosfos, any carbon, you need a heichel with open doors, or does it mean that you can't have a heichel with closed doors? There's a halacha that the carbon, the shechita, has to be mul a heichel with open doors, with a mezbeach and a menorah and a shulchan and a kodesh kedoshim. Is that what it means? Or it means that there's something inappropriate about there being a heichel, everything is closed and shut, and you're bringing your carbon lefnei Hashem. What does that mean? There's a halacha that has to be Pesach Oyel Moed, but that's only if there's an Oyel Moed. Do you need psichas dalsas ahechel, or you just have to make sure that it's not closed? Zok de Rajba, you don't need open doors. What you need is that if there's a hechel, they can't be closed. Meaning then it has to be open. But to the extent that there's no heichal anyways, so you're not shechting in this disrespectful way in front of a heichal with closed doors, b'kahai gavna, it's not going to be a problem. It's a little meduyik that way in the Gemara. The Gemara's lashon is, Om Rav Yudah Mashmuel, Shlomim sheshachtan koinim sheyiftachu dalsas a heichal psulin, shenema v'shachtu pesach ha-yomoyit, bizman shehu pasuach, v'loi bizman shehu nol. V'loi bizman shehu nol, it sounds like extra words. V'loi bizman shehu nol, because that's the emphasis. The emphasis, it can't be no. What if it's not pasuach and it's not no? What do you mean? It's either pasuach, it's either open or closed, right? How could it be in between? No. What if bizman hazeh, where there's no beis hamikdash, so you don't have open doors, you don't have closed doors, that's a mefurish a rajba, that won't be a problem.